Stop waiting for permission to start your business. Your idea is one step away, and Shopify can make it easy to make it happen. That's what we did at Crypto 101 and use Shopify to sell our book, and the rest is history. The thing I like about Shopify is it takes the scary part out of starting. You're not just sitting there trying to figure out a website, payments, checkout, inventory, all these little things that stop people before they even launch. When I think about building a storefront, the biggest thing is friction. You want someone to land on your page, like what you're selling, and be able to buy without getting stuck. That's where Shopify is huge. Shopify Checkout is built to help more customers finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. The cool part is Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from huge brands that you know, like Mattel and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. So whether you're building the next big brand or launching your first product, the infrastructure is already there. Once that part is handled, you can focus on the real work, building the brand, getting attention, and bringing people to your storefront so the business can grow. That moment when someone actually buys, that's when the idea becomes real. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so go make it one. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. That's a free trial at shopify.com/crypto101. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crypto Rundown. Happy Friday. The bear market's over. It's done. It's kaput. And the bulls are on parade. Is this true? Is the crypto bear market over? Is the crypto bull market in full effect? Well, we've gathered the data. We've been talking about it now for a couple weeks. The price action isn't lying, but we're getting the underlying data that might be showcasing that. And more people than not are now coming out and saying, hey, the bull market's here, the bear market's over, and here are the reasons why. We covered this for months. If you stayed with us all summer, you know we were checking the boxes of seeing what might bring a bottom, like all the different things we were covering. We had the check boxes of like, hey, this is a good sign of trying to form a bottom. So let me bring up to start the show, VanEck talking about that their 12 quantitative signals show that the Bitcoin bear market is over. If this video will load, we're going to go right into it, but we're having some technical issues as we always do on live shows. So let's welcome in Brian. Brian, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. Is the bull market here? Is the bear market over? That's the theme of the day.
Hey, you know what, man? Hey, happy Friday to everyone, by the way. Thanks for joining us. It's always, we're here, bear, bull market, all days, every day. Whatever's happening outside, we're absolutely weathering the storm. And I mean, again, credit to us. Love to give a little credit to the boys on the show. It does feel like just give or take a couple weeks here, Tebow. We've been kind of preaching this, you know? We're going to have that chop zone through the summer. And then when we were getting closer and closer to the fall, that we were going to start to grind out of this and grind pretty slowly, which I think this is kind of where I thought it was going to be. Personally, I'm in the camp that things are looking pretty good. I'm not ready to declare victory off of just one big week or two, but things are absolutely looking pretty positive. And I do think once we get into the fall, I think that bull market's going to kick off, because we're seeing it in the trenches right now that, you know, people are out there. People are talking more and more about crypto, more and more about blockchain. People are deploying capital into risk assets. It's exactly what we want to see. And I think it's going to be kind of a nutty fall.
I think so. I think there's going to be volatility, because if you stay to the end of the show, we're going to talk a lot of bullish sentiment, but there was a little hawkish from the Fed that we're going to cover here out of Jackson Hole at the end of the show. But let's start with this. We got the video uploaded. Shout out to the chat. A couple people in the chat so far. Let us know where you're watching from today live, and we'll get back to the chat in a second. But let's go to this. The VanEck 12 quantitative signals that show the Bitcoin bear market.
MicroStrategy Sailor finally, you know, selling Bitcoin at what looks like the bottom, looks like, in, you know, to be a great kind of newspaper headline bottom, which goes along with our 12 out of 12 quantitative signals. But, you know, newsflash, a lot of the leverage in the system has been brought onto regulated rails. So, you know, whether it's MicroStrategy or CME Futures, you know, most of the leverage in the space is now visible. And in the last cycle, when FTX and Celsius and Three Arrows, they all went bankrupt, that leverage was not visible. So, you know, I think it's a lot better right now.
Great insight on the leverage being visible. And I think you were saying that Saylor checks their 12th box, the signals that they were looking for. And that's something that we talked about is like, hey, you got to do your own research, got to have your own plans. But, you know, you want to build this checklist. And we've certainly seen a lot of those this year, specifically this summer. They came pretty rapidly fast. I would throw the Clarity Act like being dead as one of those check boxes as well that can just, you know, finally flush out the last of the sellers. And I think the narratives are changing. So if we go back, and I'm going to hand this off to you to explain because you brought it to us, but the narrative on the way down was the software apocalypse, if those recall. The IGV, it had all the software companies, and it was, oh, AI is coming. AI can make any software you want like that with a prompt. And, you know, Salesforce is useless. CrowdStrike is useless. Anything that's software, Adobe is useless. These stocks went down like they were meme coins that rugged the people. You know, they were down 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. I think even Salesforce might be down 60, 70% in months. And then sure enough, if you pull up the IGV, which we can do in a second, or I'll just pull that up right now. Let's see, the IGV stock, it's coming back. If I share this tab, let's see, the 1 month up 18. This is a ETF. So this is to be up in 20% in a month is huge. And then 6 months, 32%. Year to date, 6%. But this was the depths of this, just a nice little double bottom there, obviously not too technical. And then if you zoom out, you can see what happened here over the last year. Just absolutely trashed. And Bitcoin, we kind of talked about this on the show. In my opinion, the Bitcoin kind of got wrapped up in this software AI apocalypse because it was, oh, Bitcoin and quantum. Quantum's going to break Bitcoin. It's going to be the end of Bitcoin because of quantum and AI. And now all of a sudden, the narratives are starting to change. Quantum safe Bitcoin transactions are happening on the mainnet. So, Brian, what are you seeing here?
Yeah, this is a really interesting Bitcoin specific story because one of the long term pieces of FUD, you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt for everyone around Bitcoin has always been quantum computing. And so, Starkware just successfully mined what they're calling the first quantum safe Bitcoin transaction directly on mainnet. And they did it without changing Bitcoin's consensus rules. So there's been some other proposals out there where Bitcoin devs and Bitcoin maxis, and yet to kind of change the consensus rules. So they did it without changing the consensus rules. So now this doesn't mean Bitcoin suddenly becomes quantum proof overnight. I want that to be clear, but it's still experimental. It's not practical for these everyday transactions yet. And it only protects coins specifically moved into the setup. But what this really proves is that there's potential workable paths forward before quantum computing even becomes a legitimate threat. We love to spread that quantum computing is going to be this threat, like it's going to happen tomorrow. That's not the case. You're seeing a lot of people, what was it like, Coinbase and Strategy, all these, Gemini, they're all kind of teaming up, trying to figure out solutions for quantum computing before we actually need to worry about it. So I just thought this was great news. I mean, that we saw Starkware, they're being proactive. They have this, they have one of the longest pieces of FUD and basically have a solution for it. Now it needs to get a little bit more sophisticated, needs to develop a little bit more, but great news to hear. And I just wanted to point it out because it's whenever we're in a bear market, everyone loves to point to quantum computing. So it's just a great path out of that FUD, in my opinion.
It's a great point. Again, it's all. I think the market, there's so many things, and that's why our team is so great, is we have, you know, you and Joe in the trenches. We have Hunter and Brendan, our technical analysis specialists. We've got Bryce, who's got his hands and expertise in everything across the space of crypto and finance, and working and has those connections with the funds and the space of why the podcast is so big. We got Rohit doing the research, making the newsletter. That's what makes our team so special, because the markets are so driven on many things. There's technicals, there's narratives, there's fundamentals, and it all comes into play. And that's why it was so unique, I think, this summer. And credit to us for just grinding through and trying to find the positive fundamental news that we truly believed in and believed that price action would follow. But it didn't. It wasn't at the time. It was like, man, this is getting hard to but keep believing in these fundamentals. And friend of the show, Tom Lee, was right there with us. And Michael Saylor, now, you know, we're starting to see that. And it's happening at a face-ripping pace. And so that's why you want to come here. We appreciate everybody in the chat. We appreciate everybody in the community. So again, if you want to get more involved in the community and you're looking for some of that insider research information that our team does, check the link below. We're doing the Friday special, the number one coin to own. So if you want the research of Brian, Bryce, and the rest of the team on what we think is the number one coin right now in this hot market, scroll down, check the link. We also got a bunch of other links there to get more involved and get into the community so you get access to us every single day. Because again, now's the time. Market's getting hot. We're going to be at pivotal points. There's going to be a lot of volatility, just like we talked about. Everybody is talking about AI right now, but the AI that actually matters is the kind that saves you time, helps you make smarter decisions, and takes work off your plate. And if you're running an e-commerce business, shipping is one of those things that can either keep you moving or completely slow you down. That's why I like ShipStation. It's an end-to-end order fulfillment platform built for e-commerce businesses, and its AI is trained on decades of real shipping data from billions of shipments across the world. So instead of juggling a bunch of different tools, ShipStation helps you stay in control. It can alert you when your stock is low, recommend the best carrier selections and rates, automate tasks, and help you save time as you grow. You also get inventory syncing across sales channels, automatic rate shopping, a branded returns portal, and integrations with accounting and CRM software, all in one place. If I were running an e-commerce store, this is exactly the kind of tool I'd want, because once the orders start coming in, you don't want shipping to be the thing that's holding you back. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code crypto. That's ShipStation.com, code crypto. ShipStation.com, code crypto. Taxes and fees apply. You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always the headcount budget or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves and suddenly everybody's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform trusted by 94% of the Fortune 500. It captures workflows as they happen and turns them into step-by-step documentation your team can review and share. You just do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot automatically. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps and opportunities to simplify or automate. To see what Scribe could look like for your org, head to scribe.how/crypto101 and mention Crypto101 for your first month of Scribe Capture free on select plans. That's Scribe, scribe.how/crypto101. As I bring up coin market cap, you guys are greedy little piggies now. Agreed. We were extreme greed yesterday. Greedy little piggies. It changes so fast, Brian. Everybody was scared to death, and now we're rolling around in the pig pen with the greedy little piggies. I think it's cool because we hit the 7-day here, and we're past that week of extreme volatility to the upside for the, you know, we'll call it the 20. So only 1.6% for the 20. Bitcoin's been in a 1% range this week. Ethereum, a 2% range. But we have some winners coming out this week. Solana. What a week for Solana. Shout out.
Ooh, the Soul Boys are happy.
Yeah, you want to go back to the YouTube video yesterday. I know Brendan covered that. And if you're in the community, he was eyeing up Solana on some technicals. And then Zcash making a move too, 20% on the week for Zcash. That's a nice looking chart, huh?
I think it was on this show, if I remember correctly, when Zcash was like 385. And I was like, if that Ironwood upgrade actually goes through, it's going to be a huge win. And not financial advice for anybody, but I will talk about myself here a little bit, is I did push a pretty sizable bag into Zcash in like 450 range. When Ironwood started to show strength, you started to see a lot. They were moving from the Orchard Pool over to the Ironwood. And when they basically got a clean audit, we know people in the crypto space have short memories, goldfish memories, and they fixed the biggest exploit, and that wasn't going anywhere. So it's absolutely rocketed up. It's actually one of my favorite altcoins with that whole privacy narrative. And now that they have this fully audited contract, the pool is fixed. I could see some big things for Zcash in a bull market. So it's certainly interesting, but it's showing strength. So it's easy to say.
Yeah, it was a great call at those levels. And, you know, if you were in the community and even just listen to the podcast, it was something that you got. So all the more reason to give this video a like. Bottom right, if you're new here, subscribe, turn on the bell for notifications so you can join us live as we do this every week. If you want to catch us live and get active in the chat. I see we got Las Vegas here. We've got Holy Whales in there. Gene's in there. Dylan's in there. Gene the man, what legend. Legends in the chat today. Let us know where you're watching in from. And anybody that's new, let us know as well. We had the biggest move. I thought this was a cool, fun stat. The single largest weekly gain by dollar amount in Bitcoin history last week, says Galaxy Research. That's a fun one. So the gain was $14,775, and that's number one by a $3,000 mark. Obviously, as the, you know, the price goes up, the percentage needed to move brings a bigger number, as the law, you know, basically the law of large numbers. But it still is a fun stat to track. Again, the narratives are changing, and the price targets are going up. People know this firm, Bernstein. And we've all heard of the Bernstein Bears, the childhood book. Well, we're going to have to write another one called the Bernstein Bulls. My goodness. Upgrading their price target here. Base case 125 by the end of 2026. 300 is a cycle peak by 29. And then here they come. Can you hear it? Can you hear the footsteps, the batter? The $1 million Bitcoin price targets are back. The Bernstein Bulls come in and have some porridge was the Bernstein Bears. I don't know what the Bernstein Bulls are serving up, but it's some high numbers here, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what happens when the market turns. 6 weeks ago, everybody's lowering targets because that was the thing to do. Now Wall Street's starting to raise them again. Bernstein, you know what, 150,000 Bitcoin as a base case, and their bull case starts into what, the 200,000 plus range. I kind of, I'm getting bulled up. I'm starting to have my own theories where we could go in this next bull run, but it certainly seems like Wall Street's starting to raise the targets, and that's never a bad thing because it's going to trickle over to retail, and I'm going to start getting more and more texts from the friends and family. That hasn't hit yet, so I don't think we're in a full bull run yet. Haven't gotten those texts yet, but I have gotten a couple people inquiring about crypto, but nothing like it could be.
Yeah, I actually just sent a text as we started the show because I was, I gave some alts that were doing well. Zcash was one of them that made me send the text. And I was just like, man, my group chat absolutely murders me when Bitcoin goes down 50%. And then everybody always asks, you know, what are you doing? What do you like? And I give it out. And then when it goes up, nobody congratulates you. They only get you on the way down. But the I think we're due for some flowers over hopefully the rest of the year. And if you're following the Bernstein Bulls, getting back over that 100K, I think that's going to be the shocker. Is like everybody, you know, the panic buying happens in the mid 90s. And then I could see 125. We've been there before, right? I remember sitting in my recliner. It was just one night. It was like the first time we broke 100. And it was like 101, 102, 103, 104. It was like 107 in the blink of an eye. I was like, oh, man, that was intense. I think that happens again when we get back there. So exciting times. Again, just the stats are showing it. The price targets are going up. Wall Street is reacting. ETFs have brought in $1.14 billion in inflows this week. That's over $3 billion in the last 9 days. We covered those flows with Brendan, and they just continued to rocket through the week. Charles Schwab, Wall Street again, bulls on parade. Charles Schwab to add Solana, AVAX, Chainlink in trading to Schwab crypto accounts. This is what happened when price action goes. The price targets go up. Everybody's stumbling to offer more. It's where the money's going. Something that we covered to go back again and hammer home the point around narratives was, listen, AI was the bell of the ball. We've said that all summer long, and just crypto wasn't hot. And that's where the money went. The flows go. There's people that base, you know, there's funds that are purely momentum driven funds. It doesn't even matter what the company is. Like GameStop, you know, people would start investing in GameStop and momentum funds because it's just the rules required it to a point. So again, when the momentum comes back, there's certain flows and certain money that'll chase it. And so you're seeing the price targets, you're seeing the flows, and you're going to see more of this of Charles Schwab, E-Trade, all these, you know, kind of legacy firms that have dipped their toes in are going to just go more and more and more until it feels like everybody's going to be in the pool. Any final thoughts on that? Just the you know, from a bird's eye view of Wall Street seems to be tripping over themselves to get back into the crypto narrative.
Yeah, I mean, here's a clear line. Crypto distribution is quietly becoming normal now. You know, it's just becoming completely normal. We're talking about one of the biggest brokerage platforms in America, and they've already done the Bitcoin and Ethereum side, but they're putting altcoins directly in front of tens of millions of traditional investors. And it's getting press, but it feels normal now. It's like, oh, okay, now they're offering, you know, Sol and Link. It just feels normal. And that's when you know things are changing, man. It's definitely a different vibe out there, and I love to see it.
Yeah, the vibes are high, especially on a Friday. The vibes are high. I don't even know how to tee this one up. I think I'm just gonna play it. It's hard to really get tee it up. Here we go.
They do
the apex property of the human race. It is money. Bitcoin is the best asset. There is no. There is no second best asset. Bitcoin is the.
This is what's going on Twitter right now. And again, this is for those listening on the pod. It's Michael Saylor. It's an AI video, clearly. Michael Saylor walking down Times Square. Tom Lee crawls up behind him and then eventually gets punched in the face like a Marvel movie and flies out of the scene. And this is all fun and games. So I think somebody made Tom Lee beating up Saylor. Then Saylor posted this morning. They're both sharing it and laughing and going back and forth. There's no bad blood. But this is what's going on the timeline. And this is what happens on the timeline when price action goes fun. The memes are back. I've seen it on our own account. Maybe we'll show some towards the end of the show, but, that's assault, brother. What are you thinking about these two, memeing it up against each other?
Yeah, you love to see it. It's always entertaining. You've basically got two completely different treasury playbooks being tested in real time. We got Saylor sitting on a giant pile of cash now, war chest, and waiting for opportunities. And Tom Lee's still stepping on the gas, man. Tom Lee's a max ETH bull, and you love to see it. Buying ETH, he's staking ETH. Bitcoin versus Ethereum, but it's a passive reserve asset versus, you know, a productive yield-bearing treasury asset. I guess the question is going to be 5 years from now, which treasury model is going to look smarter? I bet probably both of them are going to probably do pretty good, but it'll be certainly an interesting case to follow.
Yeah, and I don't think you saw it, but this was the thumbnail I made for today. Just
oh, amazing! I'm not. I watched the video before we got on here, and I wasn't getting duped like the unk I am. I'm like, hey, when did this happen? Remember the video a few rundowns ago? You're like, dude, that's AI. And I'm like, oh,
didn't get which one was that? Time. I don't remember. What video
it was like
was
the Saylor the Saylor conference call with them all dancing and him rapping.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? And you got real serious, like, hey, bro, like, this is AI. And I was like, oh. Didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you're
tough look for me.
I've always said, as your friend, like, I was, you know, you look amazing for your age. Like, you look 10, 15 years younger. You showed your age there a little bit on that one.
Yeah. It was embarrassing. You know, I chop it around with the boys in the trenches. I got some great friends that are a little younger than me. I can put it on, but, you know, we're all not batting 1,000. I got tricked by the AI bot there live on air, but made for a great segment.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think one of the cool things is, as we do the show continuously, is we got to be honest with the audience. We were covering it when Stretch was down and under par. I don't think it's exactly about par yet, but we're allowed. Let's see. I can't seem to find.
I was hammering them too. I mean, I was. The amazing thing is, the Saylor just was selling MicroStrategy to get cash, and he needed to do it, but the stock just kept staying flat and going up, which was amazing.
We were covering it here. It was a huge talking point at 74, you know, down 25%, and there were a lot of people that stepped in and bought it. Credit to them. Even there was a ton of people on the timeline I saw that had documentation of it, of the dates in late June of doing a Stretch trade. I think some guy said there was somebody who got trashed. I couldn't find it, but he sold, he ran like a family office. He's like, hey, I'm selling a portion of my Micron, which is up crazy, and moved it into Stretch as a trade. And so he captured, you know, that 20% plus the 2 month dividend. It's a solid trade. And then, you know, whether you keep it or trade it out, you know, that's neither here nor there for us to decide. But, you know, back at 90, it was at 98 yesterday, I think. So, yeah, it was back in 98, and it's close enough to par that I'd say that Stretch is back for now, especially with the price action. So that's some good news for Sailor. So all the more reason to be joking around online. And then just some more Ethereum news. Tom Lee just keeps buying. They keep doing their basically weekly buys for millions, tens of millions of dollars. And then ETH on exchanges is hitting a fresh low. It hasn't been this low since 2016 is some of the data that we're seeing coming out. So more people buying. And this kind of makes sense in a way, right? After a huge shakeout like this, you know, there's plenty of people who sold. There's plenty of people that had it staked, that unstaked to sell it and just said, hey, I'm done. And that's what happens at the bottom, right? There's no more sellers left. So if you're buying ETH, you know, 4 weeks ago plus, it's like, hey, if you're buying ETH and staking it, you don't really have any plans to sell right now. And then again, with the momentum, maybe you get more inflows. That's more of a momentum trade. So those people are looking to sell on the way up. But looks like a pretty solid runway for Bitcoin and ETH here. Any final thoughts on that before we want to maybe pump the brakes a little bit for the viewers and give them a macro view of what else is going on?
You know, this was a great call. You put it on the sheet, and I didn't realize that that's how much ETH we've seen on those exchanges. That's always a really good indicator because people are staking it. They are moving into custody. They're utilizing it in DeFi now. So as ETF demand continues rising while this immediate sellable ETH keeps falling, you're getting the ingredients for like a legitimate supply squeeze. So you love to see it. Great stuff. I didn't realize that was the case until we started doing the show today. So again, something that everyone should be pretty excited about for ETH.
Yeah. Again, the fundamentals for crypto are here. I really love the narrative that crypto is downstream from AI. Once all these basically legacy banks and all these, you know, exchanges and all this stuff are basically turning into software companies is what it looks like over the next 10 years, or they need a new software component to work with the AI, both on, you know, applications for use, security. So once everything's, you know, AI turns the banking sector into a true new and improved financial software sector, crypto is basically a shoe-in for that. And so crypto's downstream from AI. I like that narrative. And so it feels like there's a lot of runway here. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be volatility. It's not all the way up from here. I actually just got alert that some $200 million in longs seem to have been possibly liquidated. Let's see at the 24-hour. So you can see here since we started the show, you know, a little red candle there. Nothing to worry about too much there. But again, it's not a straight line up is what I'm trying to say. And I think there's something that happened this morning to keep an eye on here. So Jackson Hole is a very famous kind of economic summit. That looks like the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City is hosting it, the Economic Emporium. Kansas City Federal Reserve's hosting a summit in Wyoming. So there's a little bit of fun there for you. But I turned it on. I was having my coffee, and Mr. Warsh here, our new Fed chair, came up, and the summary's on the right there, but I'll tell you why I knew where it was going. He hopped on, Brian, and his first thing, he started talking about what a wonderful conference it is. Thanks for hosting. You know, I've been out here many times, and I've had a lot of great hikes with many people out here. And I'm like, I'm thinking my coffee. I'm like, hikes? What? That's... And he's like, yeah, I just remember a very great hike we talked about a lot. And this, I'm like, dude, why are you using the word hike so much? Like, what are you trying to do here to the markets? He was trying to be like sly. Obviously, he's like kind of leaning into signaling that inflation was too high. So here's the Cliff Notes version of what was said today. Inflation remains too high, and the Fed's prominent focus should be on prices. The 2% target is firm. So that means everybody's always wondered, like, well, does 2% mean 2%? Because That's not where we've been recently, clearly. It's summer inflation data improved, but underlying trends have not meaningfully changed. The Fed still has work to do unless inflation returns to its target. Remember, the 2% target is firm and fixed, and it's not returning clearly at a sufficient speed. The labor market remains stable, consistent with full employment. Broad financial conditions are not restrictive, a good majority favoring waiting before changing interest rates in July. So I think the summary here, and the Polymarket odds went 50-50 on this, was, what's the Fed's next move going to be? Clearly, with jargon like this and talking about hikes that he enjoyed while being out in Wyoming, he's not looking to cut with this data here. So unless you see some crazy new data, the cuts are off the table. And I guess he's signaling to the market here that he's considering possibly hiking into the end of the year here, which is catching a lot of people off guard, especially being a Trump appointee and the administration not wanting that, which is good in a way, I guess, because the Fed is supposed to be, it's not supposed to be partisan, non-biased. They're their own thing. So even though he seemed buddy-buddy with Trump going into the role, he's clearly at least here signaling, independent thought. And that's what the Fed's supposed to be. So I think that's fine. The market likes to crawl walls of worry here, but this is something to follow because a lot of people have one rule that they follow on top of all, and it's don't fight the Fed. So something to watch here, Brian, as you're digesting this news, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna hike it, just do it already so we can get on with our lives and the market can digest it. But the interesting part is Bitcoin is still holding around that like upper 70s range. We didn't see this major flush out with this news. If crypto can absorb, a hawkish Fed and keep the ETF inflows, that tells you something that the strength of really the underlying bid. So kind of my opinion is if that's what we need to do, then that's what we need to do, make it happen. And then I think we're going to be off to the races. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Again, it's just that's what this is. At the end of the day, you can call it what it is. Trading and investing, there is a gamification to it. And this is all part of the game and data gathering. So something that we'll monitor here. We have an awesome Friday rundown, per usual, but an international one. We've got Canada, we've got Liverpool, we've got Spokane, Washington, we've got Florida. We got all the corners of not only the country but the world out here with us today. I love seeing that from everybody. And I guess we got to ask Brian, how are you celebrating your crypto gains that you had over the last week? Anything you're doing this week and anything fun? I think for me, I'm gonna go have a couple of beers.
Oh man, what a good commercial or breakdown. This was the best. No celebration on my end. I got a whole bunch of kids sports to make happen, but I love good old Shane. And this when I saw this, this gave me some sincere laugh out loud vibes.
Yeah, call to the Crypto 101X. We're back. We're sharing. We got the memes going again.
The Creed one's so good.
Getting some numbies too. I mean, like a 4,000 there, 14,000 there, six. Tom Lee coming out of the casket. This one crushed. Mark Rebell, that one crushed. So come have some fun with us on X if you haven't yet. And then we'll wrap up the show. You always see Brian and I virtually in different locations, but we had an awesome opportunity last week. We got to go to Red Rocks and be a part of a super cool concert. It's Brian and his lovely wife. We had a great time. My whole family was there. Epic show, super fun time. So I thought the viewers might enjoy a little in real life, Brian and TiVo.
I was hoping you were going to bring it up because I was going to certainly bring it up if you weren't. I'll tell you what, this guy, what he does is one in a million. It absolutely, white glove service for me there, showing me all around Red Rocks, just absolutely unbelievable. I have to thank you on air again because we had one of the best times we've had in years. Your family is unbelievable, a bunch of beauties, just absolutely loved it. And TiVo in real life, man, sign me up anytime you're around. I'm coming, baby.
Love it. Yeah, we had a great time. Some mini golf the night before, some dinner, funds and friends. Just want the viewers to know that we're all in on crypto all the time. We do get together in real life, and it is super fun. We had a blast. So that's going to be all for today, folks. We're going to wrap it up there. A little back end of YouTube there for everybody. We really appreciate everybody listening. One last call. Check out the links below if you want to get more involved. It's the Friday Rundown, so we need a like from you. And if you're new, bottom right, subscribe. But that's all for today. We're going to see you all next week with some more awesome content. That's all for now. Bye, everybody.